If you are the Son of God, command that this stone becomes bread.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.
If God loves you, throw yourself down. His angels will lift you up in their hands.
How dare you put God to the test?
If you will bow down and worship me, I will give you the whole world.
Crucify him!
This retelling of Matthew chapter 4 is from the Bible mini-series, a series that came out just a couple years ago. And a couple things I noticed from the video. First off, obviously Jesus would make a good first baseman because he caught the rock on the first try. But it's another thing that's interesting, because you find this from all the people that worked on the Bible mini-series, but you also find it from the actor who played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ. They all find a recommitment and a dedication to their faith and to the way of God. And in fact, on our app today, you can look at one of those video testimonies from the actor who played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ, and it's very moving and powerful the way he tells about his faith. There's something about entering into the story and trying to understand the suffering of Jesus that greatly changed the people who were acting in a way to tell his story. Now, of course, we can debate whether or not media is good, whether it's good to make movies about Jesus or TV shows, whether it's good to use the internet. But really, that debate over whether the internet is good or not, it's now just normal. It's normal, and it's the place we go when we're searching for answers. It's the place we go when we're looking for information. That's just sort of the way it is now. In the early church, when you were looking for answers about life, you always went to the desert. Because in the desert, you found solitude and silence, and you were able to search for, in a way, the meaning of life. And so the thing they found, though, is that the desert wasn't empty. They went there expecting emptiness, but the desert wasn't empty. It was full of the temptations that you brought with you. And this is why in iconography, St. Anthony the Great, it's why St. Anthony the Great, when they show him in a lot of iconography, they always show him beset with demons, all kinds of demons. This is an Egyptian desert monk who is largely considered the founder of monasticism in Christianity. Spent a greater part of his life in the desert. Known as one of the great heroes of the faith, one of the most holy men who ever lived. However, when he was in the desert, he confessed that he battled lust and rage and hate and even his own ego. But he also says that in the desert, these demons were not desert demons. These were Saint Anthony's inner demons. And it was only when he was in the desert and when he finally had silence and solitude that he was able to identify these demons that were destroying his soul. He finally became aware of it because of the silence. The desert is full of whatever you bring with you. It's the place where you come face to face with yourself. It's not a landscape to develop character. It reveals your character. Now, one thing's for sure. If you look at somebody like Saint Anthony or any of the saints in the Bible, there's one thing that's for sure. There is no such thing as a superhuman who is non-tempted. We're all in this together. From Pope down to pagan, whoever you are, we're in this together. We're all going to face temptation in this life. When Henry Nouwen writes about Jesus' temptation, he describes it as threefold. He says Jesus was tempted to be relevant. Turn these stones into bread. That's a practical thing you can offer the world. Jesus was tempted to be spectacular. Do the miraculous. Throw yourself from the temple. Show your power to people. Prove who you are. And he was tempted to be powerful. Take control of things. I'll give you all these things. I can compromise with you, and I'll give you this power. And these are the same temptations we have as well. We want to be kept up to date. And so we tweet, and we check our status. We want to share the exciting things we're involved in. So we post pictures and video, but then we agonize over every quip, making sure it's perfect. We want to build our networks and platforms, and so we befriend people we don't even like or people we don't even know. And the modern media really just shows us both the promise and the dangers of going into the desert. That's all it is. We go to the web looking for learning and insight, looking for answers to the meaning of life, but we also find our temptations. The internet has pictures. And if you go there with lust, you'll find them. It has stuff to buy if your particular temptation is greed. It's a place to post selfies of yourself if you're just really vain and you're wanting to show off. And by the way, nobody really cares what you had for dinner last night, so stop posting it. We go to the desert internet looking for answers, but instead we find coping mechanisms. We find online what we bring. And it's the same way in all of life. You find what you bring. So how are we meant to conquer temptation? Because in the Bible, both the devil and Jesus quote Scripture. So quoting the Bible, knowing the Bible, isn't the key. The key is what Jesus does. Jesus quotes the Bible that tells him two things. Who God is. What God is like. And then number two, he quotes the parts that tell him who he is and what his purpose is. Who is God? And what is the Messiah supposed to be? And Jesus starts there and ends there because he knows that's the whole key to understanding life. See, the devil really wasn't tempting Jesus not to be the Messiah. He was just trying to change his mission so that Jesus wouldn't follow through with all of it. In Hebrews chapter 4, here we find out about this great high priest who comes to God's people. But we realize that he is not unable to sympathize with us, to empathize with our weakness. We have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, and yet he did not sin. I think it should mean something that our God would go through what we go through in terms of temptation and the struggles of this life. That Christ was tempted with relevance. Turn these stones into bread. Jesus, just feed yourself. You won't be so weak. Why don't you go take care of the hungry? Do miracles and just take care of the hungry, and you can solve a lot of world problems. Be an endless supply of nourishment. Why be the metaphorical bread of life when you could be the actual baker and giver of bread. Do the relevant thing. He was tempted with the spectacular. Jump from the high place. Show them you're the King of Kings. Stop letting them boss you around. Stop letting them terrorize your disciples. Show them your power. Show them you can control the angels. Show them they have to obey you. Wouldn't they benefit from obeying you? Jesus was also tempted with power. Okay, I'll give you this kingdom. You can have the Jews, Jesus, but let's stop it there. You can have all these people in this generation, and you can save them all. Let's just make a handshake agreement. Let's compromise. Let's meet in the middle. Let's keep your mission here, and then it's a win-win situation for us both. That's the devil's compromise. He's not trying to destroy the whole world. Just give them the lost people, the dirty people, the poor people, the others. I think we're tempted with the same things. I mean, I'm tempted to believe I'm the solution to everyone's problems, to pretend I know what they're feeling and I have the answers for what they're going through. I know how to set them free. And the truth is, they don't need my advice. They need to hear the Spirit of God. We're tempted to dazzle and amaze people, to think. We want them to think our abilities are better than they are, to convince people that we should be followed and listened to and loved. We want that influence, that control. We're also tempted to compromise. We'll sell off a little bit of godliness in order to reach peace. And if we just reach peace, then perhaps the problem goes away and everyone can be happy. See, Christ's temptations are really my temptations. They're your temptations. His test is our test. And the way forward is to identify with God the same way he does. Who is God and what is God like? What does God want for me? And what is God trying to do in the world? And if I can keep my focus there, it's going to allow me to grasp onto God instead of some kind of self-help therapy that can get me through the temptation I face. See, Satan was willing to give Jesus this kingdom, to give him the Jews. It's a win-win solution. But this isn't Jesus' mission. His mission involved the Gentiles too. Perhaps the message of Jesus' temptation is that all the power in the world does no good if our purpose is not God's purpose. And you could be given everything, but if you're not doing it for God's purpose, it's not going to matter. If our role is to be a part of the healing of the world, the whole world, then that needs to be the mission we're on. Because before you can get to the greatest sermon ever preached in Matthew 5, you have to go through Matthew 4. And Matthew 4 is about Jesus' temptation and the calling of his disciples. And until Jesus goes through this, he really doesn't have a sermon to preach yet. He has to face what we face. Our temptation is the same thing. Before we can go out and preach to the world, we first have to face the very temptation that the devil offers. See, the love your enemies church that Jesus started. See, Jesus started a church that is love your enemies can easily become we must fight back against them church. It's very easy for us to twist the very thing we're supposed to be, love your enemies, and instead fight back against our enemies. And so many churches go that direction. And it could be science, presidential elections, immigration affairs, denominational arguments, or the color of the church carpet. It becomes a battleground. And Facebook is filled with rants by Christian people about all the things they're against, and they say they're fighting a Christian fight. Is that our purpose? Did Christ ask any of you to bear arms for him? God is not going to conquer evil with your hatred. The message of the scripture is that God has no need for your rants. The way of Jesus drives back darkness with this light that's shining in my eyes right now. I need sunglasses, by the way. Light drives out darkness, not hatred. That's the message of Jesus. It's the way of love that he teaches. Our purpose is to be light, to be grace. And you will know a tree by its fruit. What do you taste like? What kind of fruit are you supposed to have? Well, what is the fruit of the Spirit? It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and Facebook rants. No, that one's not in there. Self-control. Christ's temptation teaches us not to compromise with the devil. He'll give us our kingdom, but then we lose everyone else. We lose the lost. So Jesus resists, and then he closes with these words, serve God alone. And then it says that the angels attended him, which brings to mind verse 16 in Hebrews 4, when it talks about us when we're dealing with temptation. It says, we will receive mercy and grace in our time of need, in our time of temptation. God wants to attend you with his angels. He wants to protect you. You will be tempted. You have been called to bear a particular cross. I wish I could sell you a health and wealth gospel. You'd probably put more in the offering plate. But instead, Christ has revealed that he has called you to bear your cross. The good news is you're not called to bear his. Because his cross, he declares, is finished. It's accomplished, it's done, the battle is won. You are not called to bear his cross. But you are called to bear yours. And your solution will be the same as Jesus. Don't just quote the scriptures, but focus on what the word reveals about who God is, who God says you can be, and what God wants to actually do for the world. Because the church is God's great rescue plan. We must be sure that we are not tempted to become something that we are not called to be. Are you ready to make your testimony when you face temptation? Good. Just remember the words of the song. They will know we are Christians by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. Let's pray. Father, because of your grace, because of your mercy, because of your peace, your patience, your kindness, your gentleness, your self-control, we know who you are. Teach us to be people of the fruit, people of the Spirit, who bear good fruit for this world. Lord, as we pray the words of this song that we're about to sing, let us first focus on your faithfulness and goodness to us, and let us respond under temptation as your son Jesus did, acknowledging who you are and what you want to do for this world. And we pray this through his name. Amen.